Psalm 27, amen. Psalm 27. It's your favorite? Didn't know that. Don't give me, I didn't know that. Amen. Psalm 27. You will stand to reverence the word of the Lord and remain standing until we ask God for permission. I'm reading from the King James today, and it reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Yes, Lord.
When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and failed. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock to stay." Verse 11, as we tear it down, says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies."
Yes, Lord.
You may take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, it's again that you have allowed me to do what I love to do, and that's stand and preach your word. Thank you, God, for this great pastor who allowed me to stand behind this sacred desk that you have appointed him to for this season. God, I pray now that something will be said or something will be done for all of us, God, for I know, Lord, that your word will not return unto us void. I ask you, God, to give this pastor renewed strength and a personal revival. I ask you, God, that you will strengthen every member of his family. Bless their ministry and their money, Father, and their health in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you, God, you will bless the members of St. Paul United Church of Christ, all of those who are all the members, all the saints and all the friends, all those who come in and out of these doors to make this ministry click. God, I pray you will bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Then bless, God, my church family, God, who decided to travel. We thank you, Lord, and we trust you today, and we love you. Then, God, me, who is the least of your saints. I pray, God, for a little while you will give me strength in my frail body. Give me focus, God, in my finite mind. Then, God, give me the breath, God, to preach like it's my last time. I trust you today, and I give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it is in Jesus' mighty name I do pray. Let the faithful of God say amen. 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 Pastor Brown said majority of what God wanted me to say. But Paul already knows that we're going to say it anyway. Ain't that right? I love you, Pastor. I'm going to tell you, I love him because he has been a good friend. I'll tell you a story about him, and then I'll go on with the message. I met Pastor Carl from afar. Y'all know what I mean by when you meet someone from afar?
Yes, sir.
You don't go by what folk have said about them. You've never seen the person, but it's just something about that person that stands out. There's something about that person that clicks with you. I met Pastor Carl at one of my worst times. It was a time when I wasn't living right. I wasn't doing right. God had called me back to the church, amen, not to preach, but to get myself right, to get my soul delivered. His uncle, Pastor Harry Carr, was my pastor at the time. Pastor Carr took a sabbatical or a vacation. And so I wasn't going to church because let me tell y'all how I was. I told you I was messed up, didn't I? Yes. Because I would come to church and sit at the back of the church. Amen. I didn't want to talk to nobody in the church because everybody knew how I was living. I just wanted to get in and get my word and get back out. Amen. But one day I walked in, I waited till everything was done. I walked in the church just in time to walk down the aisle and put my money in. Amen. And then I went to the back like I normally do when I sat down. All of a sudden I heard this booming voice, amen, saying, "Hold on, hold on, God's got a word for you, amen. Don't give up, everything gonna be all right, amen." And then he said what he always say when we pray together, "To God be the glory, amen." I said, "Oh, it's been rascal, amen." And then he began to preach, and his whole message was, "Hold on, His whole message was, if you repent, God will take care of you. His whole message was, you might not be able to do it, but I know a God that's well able to do it. And from that point on, I didn't get to talk to him for another 2 years, didn't get to see him, but it was something about that word, what he said to me, amen, I never knew. He told me it was his second or third sermon. That man preached like he had preached all his life. All I know is he preached Michael Thompson happy, amen. I went to my wife, I said, baby, I'm sorry. Went to my boss man and said, if I ain't doing right, I'm going to start doing right. Went to the people in the church and the auxiliaries and said, whatever I can do, I'll do it. I can't sing, but I'll sing. I was in every choir. I can't usher, but I will usher. It was because of the faithfulness that you gave me through your word to hold on, that everything will be all right. So today I came back to tell you that asked the Lord to give you direction. I believe now that you are at a point in your ministry. I may be wrong, you can tell me after this over, but you are at a point in your ministry. You have done some great things with some great people, but now you are at a point in your ministry where you are way ahead of the gamut of where you're looking at, amen. And the people that are around you that you are here to lead, they don't understand the magnitude of the gift that they have. They don't. Y'all don't understand that God has brought this man here after y'all struggled to take y'all to a new dimension in the Lord. And if you will follow him, man, I'm telling you, some great things gonna happen at this church. Well, before I get to all that, I'm gonna say this. Sister Kimberly called. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about the first lady, talk about everybody, then I'm gonna go to the tent. This first lady share her husband with y'all. Somebody say amen up in here. When she need him at the house, he's still coming here. Son, Bracy, and his daughter Tisa, who's married, but they still depend on their dad. This man is not just a pastor, he's a full-time worker, a bivocational pastor. In other words, I hope y'all understand that when this man get off a third shift, he and I pray, and he will come here when somebody's in the hospital. He'll come to Middleburg from Bellerton when somebody's sick. And I'm going to tell y'all something, Oxford Grove and St. Paul. Do you know that we talk a lot about together, but we never talk about y'all? I know some preachers talk about their congregation, but you've got to know that we love y'all, we pray for y'all, we lift y'all up, we ask God to bless y'all during the week, we pray for y'all before you get to Sunday school in the right car, we pray for the choir before they hit the law, and then whoever preaching, we pray for the preacher. And I just want to tell you, like Reverend Brown said, this is not just a preacher, this man is a pastor. Now, Sister Carr, like I said, Sister Carr, she deals with him. So however y'all treat him is how he act when he get to the house. Let me say that again. However y'all treat him is how he act when he gets to the house. So if y'all love him, her, y'all ought to act like, at least when you don't, act like you love him and send him home with a good spirit so this sister can go on with her day. Y'all all right? When she needs him to be there. Can I say that this man is there? Listen to me. This man works third shift. And I know we on the road talking on Wednesday when he's on the way to Middleburg. It's 1 hour and 10 minutes from his house to this church. 79 miles one way. And since he can't meddle and he don't talk, he love y'all. But I'm going to meddle because I done pastored long enough to know church folk. He rides for 79 miles one way. Amen, somebody. 158 miles round trip. On Sunday, he come on Wednesday. He'll come whenever one of y'all call him. This man will call me, and I know he's sleeping, and we talk, don't we, bro? I talk him to Middleburg, and I talk him back to Bellerton in the name of Jesus. But I'm trying to tell y'all something. A pastor is a gift from God. Now, Middleburg, I don't know your history, but God been talking to me a little bit. He let me peek your whole car. See, y'all been dealing with a whole lot of preachers who want to get in the pulpit and tell you how eloquent they are just to raise the roof on the church. Pastor Darlene Carr studies. Pastor Darlene Carr is one of the best preachers and teachers that I know. Pastor Darlene Carr can take one word and preach it and take it in Sunday school and stay in a whole book for a year. I mean, like, God, how in the world you in the book for the whole year? We start Romans together. Pastor Carr said, where are you, Dr. Knight? Well, we're in chapter 2. Chapter 2? I'm in chapter 7. How in the world you get to chapter 2? And this man take one word. All it takes, Middle America, is one word from the Lord can change your whole life. You have a pastor. God bless you again. Keep doing what you're doing. To the children, amen, and the grandboys, amen. Every man love his boys, amen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that if a man don't take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever. I'm trying to spell it for you. I'm doing the best I can. Work third shift. Take care of his wife. Take care of his congregation. Take care of his children. Take care of his grandbabies. Y'all hear me now? But this man also take care of his animals. Proverbs 12 and 10 said a righteous man would take care of his animals. Pastor Carr would get off on third shift, call me in the morning. Doctor, you want to go to Waffle House? Amen. And then he said, no, I can't go today. I got to take Zeus to the vet. Amen. And this man take this dog to the vet. Then he ride around with the dog in the car. I said, this man love everybody. Amen. Y'all got a pastor. Amen. There's nobody like him. But Pastor Carr is here, all jokes aside, a gift from the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, a pastor is a gift from the church. And the office of the pastor is not to be taken lightly. Even if you don't like the pastor, amen, you still have to respect the office of the pastor because it's ordained by God. Not only the pastor, y'all quit messing with y'all deacons. Y'all do know that it's the office that are called to. They're not called to God, but they are appointed by you to do some work, amen. And so the pastor and the deacons can lead y'all if y'all let them, amen. Pastor Carr, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, I'm trying to tell y'all, there can't be two heads in the church. Y'all got to let the pastor lead, amen. And y'all think y'all speak Middleburg, but I'm going to talk to you for a little while because I know good and well he's not from here. And y'all right around the corner, know each other's phone number. Y'all can get together and talk, and y'all will have a meeting. But can I say this? He trusts y'all. He trusts y'all because I know when he pastored other churches, he had to travel just to go to deacon's meeting. He said to me the other day, bro, he said, Doc, he said, I'm in a gold mine. I said, what you talking about? He said, my deacons take care of stuff, and my church members meet together. And this is the way it is. He said, if I got something to say, I'll call one of them, I'll tell them what I need. He said, we work together like hand and glove. And I'm trying to tell y'all now, that's a great thing for a pastor to say about his church. In this song, I got to go to work. In this song, David is the sweet psalmist of Israel. Y'all do know David, don't you? Jesse bore David, amen. Jesse bore who went to his brothers and they were scared of Goliath. He killed Goliath, did he not? And then he began to run Israel for a little while, even though some of the people didn't want him to lead, amen. After a while, they got together because they said, this man a leader. And everybody came together, Hebron and everybody, and all the tribes came together and allowed him to work. Now, I'm saying this, Middleburg, y'all can do what you want to. Don't let two or three families destroy your church, amen. I know I'm talking to somebody. Y'all ain't the only one. We got the same thing in Brotherton, amen. You can't let families overtake a church. Pastor Carr's here to pastor you and to lead you and to tell you what it is. And y'all need to properly follow him as he followed Christ. I said that twice. That meant something, didn't it? Pastor Carr, before I go back to David, Pastor Carr, like I said, he's faithful. Pastor Carr is a lover of people, amen. And Pastor Carr is a person that you can trust, amen. All the years that he's been down here in Middleburg, not one scandal, amen. He ain't in the newspaper, ain't nothing happened, amen. But if you like me, I know sometimes he won't say something, amen. But he holds his peace and God keeps it. Brother David, sweet songs. Brother David. Y'all know him when he came on the scene, really, once he really got in the kingdom, he started thinking about some things, didn't he? And the 23rd Psalm, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Ain't that what he said? After he knowing about Jesus in the 22nd Psalm, the Messianic Psalm, amen. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, hey, I don't want nothing because he leading me. Ain't that right? The Lord leads me. And y'all don't need to lead me anywhere, Bracy. He leads me beside the still waters. And that's why I'm telling y'all, Middleburg, allow Pastor Carl to lead y'all, because you can go in a whole bunch of directions today. I wish I had somebody that would pray with me today. Y'all can go in any different direction you can. Now, for salvation, Jesus Christ is the only way that I believe, and the one way to get to heaven, and that's through him, Jesus. Now, that's already solidified, isn't that right? But it's after you get saved, the question is, what are you doing? How do you live? And you came here without a preacher, and that preacher can't preach unless he's been sent. Y'all the one told me his feet were beautiful. Y'all the one that told me he's been preaching. So now y'all need to listen to what he's saying so y'all can get to where God wants you to go. Because if you don't, everybody in the church going to be going in different directions. Man, y'all sitting up there like it's already happening. Think through a song, Lord. David realizes that the Lord led him beside the still waters. And then right, that he gives him peace. And then he got happy. He said, hey, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will feel no evil, because thou art with me. That rod and that staff, he got real happy, didn't he? And he begins to talk about the goodness of the Lord. And he said, no matter who behind me, no matter what enemies I got, he said, goodness and mercy, yeah, will follow me all the days of my life. Then the 24th Psalm, he realized something. Pastor Carl, you got to realize this. And sometimes you're talking to people, they hear you, and sometimes they don't hear you. And then even in the people in the community, the civic community, and what we're going through with this virus, and everybody talking, and everybody saying this, and everybody doing that. Pastor Carl, you know what you got to do? You got to go with David in the 24th Psalm. David said, the earth is the Lord. Yeah, hell, no matter what happened, the earth is the Lord. Y'all got to remember that. And the fullness thereof. Ain't that right? And we that dwell herein. Ain't that right? Then he asked the question, who shall ascend to the hills of the Lord? Then he answers his own question. He said, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul under the banner, these are the sons of Jacob. Amen. Yeah. And then he talks about the whole earth being established on the flood and on the seas. Ain't that right? And just in case when you get in trouble, when folk don't understand inside the church, you got to let them know, amen, who the Lord is. He is the Lord of hope. And when they get crazy, they look up and say, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. They're going to ask you the question, who is the Lord? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Amen. That's what you got to tell them, Doc. But then when you get to the 25th Psalm, there's something about the 25th Psalm where David is talking about, Grayson. In your life, there's going to be times when you don't know what direction to take. Amen. And David didn't know what direction to take. He had good teaching. He had good training. He had good parents. He was trained to be the king. Amen. And as wicked as Saul was, he still worked with David. And when he wouldn't work with David no more, his son Jonathan began to show him the protocol of it. Amen. But then he comes back in the 25th Psalm. He says, show me your way. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your plan. Then that's the first one. Then he said, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I trust and I want all the days of my life. Then he said, not only teach me, not only lead me, he said, remember me, O Lord. Call me in the night, you be riding down the road, and I understand that you in the dark time, when your congregation done went home, you riding down the road with highway patrolmen out there ready to get you. You waiting, riding through and waiting with the Ku Klux Klan out there. You riding with the good old boys down there from Bass County through Mervin on your way home to Bellinger, but yet you trusted in the Lord. David said, remember me, O Lord. I know you done said that a minute night when you were sleeping in your car. You said, Lord, remember me down here in my vehicle. And remember your loving kindness toward me, and let me get home to my family. And he said, then, the one card I talk about a lot. A lot of preachers will make you think that they got gold in their pocket, that they made out of gold, that their tongue is gold. But me and Carl understand we are not like that. We know that we have faults. We understand that we have, like David. We said, remember us, Lord, not the sins of our youth, amen. But by your mercy and your goodness, just give us another chance, amen. That's why when he come down here, that man preach like it's the last time, because he understands that God can use whoever he wants, but he chooses to use you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes,
26. Psalm 26, he said, judge me, O Lord. There's somebody in this church, and I ain't talking to Pastor Carnell, I'm talking to y'all. Brother Barry, you said that you wanted a pastor. Nine times, Archie Grover said, I know they say it behind my back, Paul, but I don't care. They always talking about they want a better pastor. But you know if they want a better pastor, you know what they got to do? They got to be a better congregation. Hey, let me go over here and say, if you want a better pastor, you got to be a better congregation. You got to do what you're supposed to be. Be on time for choir practice. If you're going to usher, be on time. If you say you're going to take a position, take the position and don't stay. If you're not, stay out the way and let somebody take it that's going to do it. Yeah. Oh, you don't like me now, Paul. I got to go. You don't like
me
now.
Walk it up.
Walk it up. That's right. But then, he says, my foot stands in an even place. Mm. Every time you stand up here, dog, this is the place that God has ordained for you. Amen. Preacher, 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 preacher. That's all right. Mm. We're just here for a little while. But you planted here. And you know that you got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to preach when folk like it. You got to preach when folk don't like it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something I told a young man in the back that we were talking about the president. And I said, you got to trust the office of the president. He said, no. He said, no. Then your brother said, no. He said, no, I can't do that. I said, well, Doc, I got to tell you that if I don't respect the office of the pastor, and if I agree with you now, I can't walk out there and tell the congregation they got to respect the office of the pastor. In other words, let me go ahead and say it like this, because y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm saying. This side sleep, that side slow, but I'm getting ready to show you what I'm talking about. I'm trying to tell you in here that everybody don't like you, especially in church. When you stand up and tell folks about their self-pastor, because you do know that there are some folks wish they had a wife like yours. Their wife won't listen, their wife won't help, their wife won't do nothing. So the best thing they can do is tie down your back, amen. And their children might be running all old Middleburg, you don't know nothing about it. They can find out one thing about your child in Burlington. If they want to hurt you, they gonna talk about it. Ain't that right? Put it in the Middleburg Convention, ain't right? Put it on Facebook, ain't right? They gonna do all that stuff, and you always gonna have an enemy. But that's all right. David said, the Lord is my light. When you're coming down the road at night from Middleburg, you already know that the Lord is your light. You already know that by his stripe, you are healed. So salvation belongs to you. Then you said the Lord is the strength of your life. When you get tired of coming, when you don't want to come no more, ain't it funny how Sunday morning come and we get strength out of nowhere? Preachers keep on preaching. There's going to be a time when folk ain't going to want to hear you. They're not going to like you, but you got to stand strong in the Lord and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then here it is. Verse 2 said, when the wicked, even mine enemies, Lord have mercy, and my foes came up to eat of my flesh. Look, they stumble and they fail. I ain't going to even elaborate on that. I just want to tell you, Carl, the Lord is your help. For anybody else in here, if you're a Christian, the Lord is your help. When your enemy comes against you, they're going to stumble and they're going to fall. Because the Lord is your help. Yes, y'all don't believe it? Look, say it to the neighbor beside you. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Or neighbor.
Or neighbor.
The Lord.
Is your help.
Then he says, though a host encamped against me. It don't matter how many enemies you got, because some enemies you know about, and some enemies you don't know about. There are some what we call frenemies, amen. Them ones who, hey, how you doing? And all they want to do is find out your business so they can come back and hurt you down the road later, amen. But the Lord said, when the wicked and even my foes, Brother David said, and when they came up to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they failed. That's the help of the Lord. But then when you got the help of the Lord, every now and again things get strange, ain't that right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why are you hope in this text? In the third chapter, it said, though a host encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. No war should rise against me, and this will I be comforted. Amen. Confidence ain't nothing but hope. You can beat me down all you want to, but if I can see a little glimmer of light, baby, if I get up off the ground, baby, it's going down. And then like God, because the Lord is my hope.
Yes, sir.
The first thing is that the Lord, when you're traveling, car, 5 years, 4 years, whatever it is, the Lord is your help. And then the Lord is your hope. Before I go to my last point, I want to tell you like this. I remember coming down when Pastor Carr got installed. standing in the back with Reverend Williams, and Reverend Williams asking questions of when did you get the key yet, and what you got to do, and all this like that. And y'all know what he told me? He told me that he had to wait a year, amen, before y'all really let him in the door. Well, I encouraged him, because most of what was probably going to happen is y'all dated somebody, amen, who wasn't quite what they said they were, amen. And so y'all had to make Carl wait for a while. Well, when a Jewish betrothal, in a Jewish engagement, they're together, Brother Bracey, for a whole year. Now, you can fake for a couple of months, but you can't fake for no entire year. Ain't that right? So y'all found out that Carl is who he said he was, and y'all know y'all called and checked around, and y'all Googled him, and y'all did all that stuff, and y'all found out he was who you said he was. But can I tell y'all something? The same Google y'all use for us is the same Google that we use for you, and it don't take us long to find out who we got. I gotta go. Out of all this, David said, one thing I desire.
Yes, sir.
And that is what I will seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And inquire in the beauty of his temple. And then he says, for in the time of trouble. Somebody say trouble. He shall hide me in his bosom. What I'm trying to tell you is, in his tabernacle, he'll hide you. And then, Christians, he'll put your foot on a rock to stay. I just told you he'll help you. I just told you that while he's helping you, while you're waiting on the Lord, that he'll give you hope. But the last thing he'll do is he'll give you a hiding place. Amen. He'll put you where folk walking all around you trying to signify, and the Lord is right there. The presence of the Lord is there, and the hand of the Lord is there. Then David got happy. He said, now my head is lifted up above my enemies. Amen. I told you, in the church, you and I both know that sometimes folk not don't like us. But that's all right. Y'all know why it's all right with me as the pastor? Because the Lord also promised, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of mine enemies. Amen. So when my enemies come, like we did when we ate with you, I'll sit down right across from my enemies. I'll thank God for my enemies. I'll slide you a drink. I'll give you some chicken, because the Lord told me to clothe you when you didn't have nothing to wear, to feed you when you was hungry, and to give you something to drink. So I'm going to do all those things so the Lord can continue to bless me. I gotta go. He said, hear me now, hear me now. He said, hear me. Hear my voice, Lord. He's crying out now. Because he's in a hard time. He said, hear my voice, Lord. He said, I need you, Lord. He, as a matter of fact, he goes on to say, even when my father and my mother forsake me. That meant when you leave, some of y'all got good mamas and good daddies that are still living. Some of us got one daddy, mama gone. Somebody, mama still here, daddy gone. But some of y'all like me, mama gone and daddy gone. Now, I'm pretty sure they could stay here. They would have stayed here, but God had to call them home. But the Lord said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Amen. Then this is it, Carl, verse 11. This is your text to hold on to through this next, or this fifth year. Teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemy. Y'all see that right there? Teach me, Lord, your way. Yeah, teach me. And put me in a plain path. Because one thing Carl's trying to give y'all, I just told you, is directions. He's trying to lead you the right way. Amen. And you got to allow him to listen to God, to study, and to pray. Don't call him every 5 minutes for stuff that you can handle yourself, and go ahead on and be Christian and stand up and do what you need to do. And when you need your pastor, you know he's going to show up. Ain't that right? So then he said, deliver me, Lord, from all my enemies. And this is it, Carl. A lot of times I would have gave up, Brother Jeff, but I didn't, because I was like Brother David. I would have fainted unless I had received the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. You ought to be glad that you're living today. I know y'all fool. I know it's evening service, but y'all sitting there like a knot on the log, don't understand that the Lord woke you up this morning. Don't know that the Lord came right on time. Don't know that the Lord put clothes on your back, food on your table, money in your pocket. It wasn't nobody but the Lord. Go on. say this.
Yes, sir.